to 7 p.m.
Welcome back to this Tuesday evening edition of Power Business. We just had a sobering conversation around the country's latest quarterly employment statistics. It's actually going in the wrong direction in that many more people actually lost their jobs in the 3 months up to the end of June. We all remember that July was even worse for the country at large as more people lost their jobs, not through the doing of their own, but through the doing of others in relation to that looting. And while that is going on the wrong direction, it then turns out that in the bigger pool of unemployment, we've had this dilemma that has been developing for a very long time, and that is the dilemma of young people in particular that are not in employment, not in education, and not in any form of training. In other words, when they wake up every single day, it's simply a matter of just watching the sunset because there's nothing for them to do. The problem is that they're young and there are 9.1 million of them. Now, the reason that number of 9.1 million is of such critical importance is, if you remember a few minutes ago, we were talking about the quarterly employment statistics, and those statistics indicate that the people that are in non-agricultural employment, in other words, the entire employment value chain, excluding agriculture, is at 9.6 million. This is a unique state of affairs where we have the number of people just between the ages of 15 and 34, remember, not the entire ecosystem, that are not in employment, numbering a number that's close to the people that are actually in formal employment. And to help me unpack this great crisis, we have on the line Anne Bernstein, who's the executive director at the CDE, the Center for Development Enterprise. Now, Anne, did I crystallize the scale of the crisis correctly when I compared the 9.1 million people between the ages of 15 and 34 who are nowhere, who are simply nowhere, versus the number of people who are formally employed, which is just 9.6 million? Anne, are you there? Anne has muted herself. We're trying to get hold of Anne Bernstein. Hello, Anne. Okay, we're going to try and get her on a bit of a different line because Anne, are you there? Okay, we seem to have lost Anne there for a moment. But yeah, I think that the scale of the problem is something that clearly requires a drastic state of events, a drastic turnaround in this. I think we probably sometimes get lost in the sheer volume of the numbers, in that you are literally talking about 9 million people, 9 million young people between the ages of 15 and 34 that woke up today with little in the way of prospective employment opportunities and will probably be in the same position tomorrow. Anne Bernstein, are you back with us?
I am. I don't know what happened. I apologize to you and your listeners.
I think your phone was shocked by the numbers that we were quoting. I mean, 9.1 million people between the ages of 15 and 34 with absolutely no prospect of really engaging in this economic value chain. What is to be done?
What is to be done? That's the important question. So firstly, it's important to understand that they're not just 9.1 million people who are all the same. So there's some people who do have who are graduates, but that's only 8% of these people, 750,000. Then you have people with a matric, about 3.7 million, about 40%. And the biggest group, 52% of those people who don't have a matric. They either dropped out or they failed or something happened. So this is a very different, you know, and some people live in urban areas, some people live in rural areas. So we need to unpack this very, very large number. But what needs to be done is this. Government must stop pretending that if we avoid the big policy issues, the hard policy issues, the policy reforms that we need for growth, for a more labor-intensive economy, and for a much more effective skills system, we will never turn this around. And we will continue to have a growing group of people, this enormous group of people, with just no prospect of a future. It's a terrible prospect. So we have to act.
Yeah. Anne, are you still there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Can
so
you hear me?
We do have a new finance minister, Enoch Godongwana. And obviously, with every shuffling of the decks at National Treasury, we always are keen to hear what his views or her views might be on the question of the employment crisis. Do we have some insights into how he has crystallized the scale of this crisis?
Well, one of his very first statements is one that I agree with, that we should not look to a future where all these young people are dependent on grants. That's what he said. I would add, or other handouts, or sort of the generosity of other people. We need to get these people into jobs, and I think that is his primary concern. jobs, after all, are the first step to individual empowerment. And that's what we have to do.
Now, of course, the problem is in trying to establish or create those jobs that young people can then transition into. What are these big policy conversations, these difficult trade-offs that we need to start tackling head up in order for us to start creating the type of job opportunities that will actually be conducive to many of these young people being able to transition into the workplace?
Well, firstly, we have to get growth going much faster. The country hasn't grown before COVID for at least 5-6 years in any significant way. And the economy shrunk during COVID. And we might, you know, we might have impressive figures for this year, but we're not going to get back to where we, the size of the economy of 2019. And that wasn't good enough. So we have to implement all the reforms on the president's reform list much faster. We have to open this country to skilled people so that they can come in and help create jobs and build new firms. But basically, we have to do the things that will persuade investors to risk their money in this country. And we're not doing that, and we're not doing it nearly fast enough. The government has to reorient to bring in markets and entrepreneurs to help South Africa grow jobs. But that isn't enough. We have to change the approach where we mainly subsidize capital-intensive activities in our economy and not labor-intensive activities. And CDE's put forward a whole range of proposals in this area, and we have carefully calibrated proposals for reform. So we've got to reform labor markets, and we've got to experiment. We've put forward an idea for a special economic zone as a policy reform zone where we build on the sunk investment in Kucha in Nelson Mandela Bay, and we see if South Africa can attract investment for low-skill manufacturing. But there's a third component as well. We need to fix our skills training system, which is expensive and it's inefficient. It fails to provide the skills that employers are looking for, and it's characterized by a very high dropout rate. So there's a lot we have to do, and sequencing matters. Mm. You don't want to persuade lots of young people to sacrifice and get skills and get education, and then there are no jobs for people like them.
Yeah,
that would be terrible.
And you know, one of the numbers that you cited there is that for graduates, that they only make up 8% of this. Obviously, the ideal number is 0%. But what I'm seeing here is that there are 40% who have a matric but have not clearly been able to transition into higher education, or if they did, they haven't graduated yet. Should that be the primary focus area to say, well, they've already exhibited an ability to exit from the basic education system, so let us explore opportunities for their transition? Because clearly, once they've been through that system and they become graduates, instead of 40%, we may be speaking 8%.
Absolutely. So, you know, just getting a year or a course after matric can really change your life. But we've got to get the economy growing. And Kaya, what happens is an economy that's growing much, much faster, companies will seek out workers in very strange places from communities they haven't found workers before, because they're desperate for workers, and they will help train them themselves. So in a way, getting a job can be your second chance at getting more know-how and learning all sorts of things on the job. So it's critical to get growth going, and it's because that will help lessen the big challenges we face, because companies will do a lot more to train people because they need them.
Mm.
So there's a virtuous circle we have to get into, but we also have to fix our skills and training system. The TVETs are really expensive and are not performing well, and their links to the world of work are very weak, and that's a big problem as well.
Yeah, definitely a big problem. And we have a caller for you, Katlego from Kagiso. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
All good, brother.
Good, man. I was just reminded of what the president said yesterday in his manifesto about creating 12 million jobs, you know, but what the states are coming out are saying, nope, we're not going to even come close to that, like a pie in the sky, you know. And I agree, we need a reform of some sort, and that's what the the president should be speaking about. What is the plan to create jobs for the young people? You know, are you going to allow entrepreneurs to do what they need to do, create the conducive space policy-wise? You know, are the municipalities, that's another, they're going to the municipal election, going to reform their bylaws to allow for special economic zones for township-based businesses to grow and create the much-needed jobs? Nobody's speaking about how the small guy can actually create the jobs that we need.
Yeah.
But, you know, how is the government supporting that? It's not.
Okay.
So 12 million jobs, pie in the sky for me.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Katlego from Kagiso. And, I mean, those sentiments from Katlego, probably he's not the only person who feels like that.
I agree with Katlego 100%. One of the recommendations we're making is we should stop all the talk, and we need some action. One of the actions would help small businesses considerably. They should be exempted from key aspects of our labor law. Because at the moment what happens is the big companies and big unions do a negotiation and they set the conditions and wages. And often new firms and small firms can't compete. And that's ridiculous. We need to create the space for small firms to get going and to not have to comply with unrealistic regulations and rules. And we need to actually act. We must stop talking. We must also stop doing small little projects. You know, municipalities, provincial governments, they talk about all these job-creating projects. The truth is, the best job-creating projects that the world has known are called firms, and we need lots and lots and lots more of them. So I couldn't agree with the caller more.
Yeah, definitely. Some things need to be done differently. Thank you very much, Anne Bernstein. She is indeed the executive director at the Center for Development Enterprise, giving us insights into that crisis of 9.1 million young people that are not in education, employment or training. A definite crisis for the country. 7 p.m., which means it's time for Power News.
Power News. In the top story.